Blog Talk Radio.
Kenny, can you hear me all right? Kenny? Are you hearing me all right? Amy?
Yes, I can
hear
you. Yes.
Okay. I had a little problem, so I was hoping I got it fixed. All right, I'm going to mute you, hon. Okay. And a good evening to everyone. I hope everyone's had a great day today. We started out here with a little problem. But I think everything's going to end up being all right. We'll be able to get through this study period. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking once again for the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, to this your word, to help us to grow in faith, to grow in spirit, and to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and to you, Father. Now be with us throughout this study. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, We're going to be in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be dealing here with a subject that today is really a subject that is touchy, controversial, and it offends a lot of people. Beginning here with verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. But you know, we spoke just a little bit on that this morning. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit. Especially on the word fornication. And Paul is dealing here in turn with the issues the Corinthians had raised in their letter. Paul, this apostle, he does not intend to teach that marriage is morally wrong as compared with celibacy. We all know what celibacy means. It means that you stay single. And it's clear from verses 2, 7, and 9, and 26. See also, he tells you that you can also go to Genesis 2, 18. Now, but what he is doing here, he's letting us know that we are to avoid fornication. In other words, we are not to have this sexual time together without being married. That's what brings on fornication. He goes on into 3 now, and he says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. In other words, they're not to hold back on each other, and you do have a lot of that going on in a lot of marriages. The wife will use it to get the husband to do something he really doesn't want to do, and the husband does the same thing with the wife. They use it in order to get their way. That's not right. That's what he's telling you here in 3. Verse 4. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. And we were just talking about that, because you see, there in 3, we're not to hold back, but the reason they do that is because spouse, whichever way it is going, really does not have the power to ignore. And they give in to do what is being held over them to do. Now, he tells us here in 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not, for your incontinence. You see, we're not to hold back from each other. Except time of fasting and prayer. And then we are, after that is over, then we are to be back with each other. And in showing our love for them. Now, 6. But Paul's saying here, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. No. You see, when he first started out, he was speaking as a man, though, that the Lord had talked to. But he's letting us know here in 6 that he's speaking this not by commandment, but it is giving you and I warning of things to do and things we should do. And it does come by the Holy Spirit of God to Paul. Verse 7. He says here in 7, he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself. Paul evidently has never been married, or else he's a widower. But at this time, he's not married. And he's wishing that all men were as he is. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. They are some men that are born actually to be celibate. They are to be single, and they are to stay single. And they are to behave themselves and not be walking around with single women doing things they shouldn't be doing. 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Now he's telling these unmarried, these widows, that it's good for them to stay that way. That is providing they can and still be a child of God and not be doing things that will lead them into sin. 9. He's warning them here. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. Now, he's not placing marriage very high. He tells us here in 9 that if they can't contain and stay away from all this sexual going, he goes on to tell them, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. He's not putting it very high, is he? It's just better than burning. Going to hell and burning. Here in 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Now the Lord is commanding this. Let not the wife depart from her husband. In other words, she's not to leave her husband in divorce or anything. But he goes on in 11. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. You see, God doesn't like divorce. And, pardon me, a man and his wife that does get a divorce, really the only way for them to marry again is to be reconciled back to each other and be remarried. That's what he's telling us there in 11. 12. But to the rest speak I, the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not push her away. Thirteen. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. You see, once we've been married, we may be a child of God, and our spouse may not, but that does not give us the right to leave them. Not for that reason. And he goes on to tell us why. 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. In other words, he's letting you know that the wife that is a child of God and living her life in accordance with the Word and with God could cause her husband then to become a believer and be sanctified, become that child of God. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But you see, what he's really telling us there is this is not to indicate that the children are the spouse of a believer or automatically born into the family of God. The words holy and unclean in this text are equivalent to sacred and profane. And the apostle thought as Old Testament insinuations. And you see, the unbeliever and the children are considered holy in a positional sense. Hence the principle of the communication of uncleanness given in the Old Testament does not apply here. And also, together with the believer, they share in God's blessing and are more likely to become converted. That's why he has made these statements like he has there in 14. It's not the idea that they are automatically converted, but it is more likely they will be. And that's why you are not, ladies, you're not to leave your husband because he's an unbeliever. You live in accordance with Almighty God. Live your life holy, and in time, he just might be converted. And it's the same with you husbands that's got a wife that's not a believer. And if you will stick to the Lord yourself and continue, then she is more likely to become converted and have salvation. You say, yeah, but have you ever seen that? I know of it. My wife, I have now. Her and I, when we met, we were both widowers. Her husband had died. My wife had died. Her first husband, she would get up in the morning, her and the kids on church days, they'd get up and get ready and go to church. He wouldn't go. He wanted nothing to do with it. But her and the children kept living in accordance with God, and they kept getting ready and going to church when it got church time. And one Sunday morning, they was up getting around. She noticed he was changing his clothes. No, he was putting on some nice clothes. She asked him what he was going to do. He told her, he said, you know, I think I'll go to church with you and the children this morning. He went. He continued going. He got converted and ended up as a deacon in the church before the Lord took him home. So, yes, it does work. Now, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. In other words, you can't force anything on him or her, whichever it happens to be. It says a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. We cannot force anything on them, but we live our lives according to the Lord our God. And most usually it comes to the point that they begin to see and want what we have. Now, 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Which is exactly what we've been talking about. We don't know. But we live according to the Lord our God and his word, and keep them in prayer. 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. This is what should be taught in all the churches, and it's not being done today. No. They are accepting most everything that we've been told not to do here. They're accepting it into the church as though there was nothing wrong with it at all. As I've told you all before, I had a couple that wanted to become a member of my church. They was coming to church, coming regularly to the church. They came to me one day and let me know they wanted to join my church. But I knew they were not married. They were just living together. And I sat them down to talk with them. And they were telling me they wanted to join the church. And I asked them about being married. No, we're happy the way we are. I told them, I said, then you can't be a member of this church. That was the last time I ever saw them. But you see, they left my church and started going to another church and went for a long time there. And whether they ever got to join that one or not, I don't know. I do know they went for a long time. But then I have heard now that they have separated. So I don't know what really went on there. Now, but this is something that needs to be taught in all of our churches. 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. In other words, we don't look at circumcision in the light of either being or not being a child of God. Now, you see, under the law, they had to be. All your male children, by the time they were 8 days old, had to be circumcised. Now, the circumcision we need is of the heart. And that's for all, you ladies too. That old man sin's got to be cut out of there. We do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. When we become that born-again child of God, there is a work for us. God already has it laid out. He's called you for that purpose. And we are to walk in that calling. 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. You see, whatever the Lord calls you for sets you free of this world. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So you can use whatever title you want to use as long as you are a child of God. Now, 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Yes, and you was bought with a high price. You wasn't bought cheaply. He paid for you by taking all your sins, your sicknesses, your diseases and all to the cross and giving his life and shedding his blood for you and I. He done something that money can't buy. 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Now, there again, of course, he speaks of male in both verses, but both female and male are to be, well, not are to be, but if they are virgins, then he's saying it's good. That's good. But they have to be able to stay that way or else get married. Can't be none of this back and forth. No. 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. You're free from love. You're free from a wife, and she's still living. Then you don't seek for another one. Now, 28. But and if thou marry, you see, he's rather you'd be single and all. And he's letting us know, though, that, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. You see, Paul really was wishing that all would say as he was. Evidently, they was having a lot of trouble in this Corinthian church over this. Now, we've got a lot of it in our churches today because they are accepting couples into their churches that's not married. They're accepting them in the church that has two and three living spouses. And that ought not to be. Because you see, that's all an abomination unto the Lord our God. Now, 29. But this I say, brethren, that time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. In other words, be letting you know now, you put the Lord first in your life. And you follow him and in according with what he has for you to do. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Now, 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. It will pass away, this world will, and everything we have of this world one day will be gone. It will all pass away. And if we are walking in sin because of this world, it will pass away with us as we pass. from life eternal to damnation and eternity in hell. Now, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Now, he's letting you and I know why it is that he would just assume for all of us to stay single. If we can stay that way and still be a child of God. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That goes to you ladies too. 33. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. But you see, she has got to come second in your life if you are to remain as a child of the living God, just as she has to put God first and you become second in her life. 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So you see, he's wanting both there. You put the Lord first in your life. And then your spouse. You keep things according to the will and the ways of God. Now, 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. That's why this needs to be taught in every church. But you'll not hear it in most of the churches today. I guarantee you that. 36. But if any man think that he behaved himself uncomely toward his virgin, in other words, you have, as we put it today, a girlfriend. You don't do things you shouldn't be doing. You're not mistreating her by leading her astray and causing her to do things that she shouldn't be doing. If she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. If you can't behave yourself, then get married. If you can't stay apart, and you got to be together sexually, then get married. 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. Now, it don't mean that you can't associate, but you've got to keep her as she is. And not fulfill the things of the flesh. 38. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Paul, him, the way he is living in the spirit, is walking very straight and very strict. And he's letting us know exactly how we should be walking. He was wishing we could all stay single, but he knew we couldn't. But he's warning us about things as we take on life being a child of God. Now, 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. She needs to be married to one that is a child of God. But before she is free to be remarried, her husband has to be dead. And men, that goes for you as well. If your wife is not dead, she hasn't passed away, and you've divorced her, you are still not free to marry. Because if you do, then you're living in adultery. And no adulterer will enter into the kingdom of God. And we've got pastors today standing in our podiums that has two and three living wives. I can't speak for you, but I'll not sit under one of them. No. Now, verse 40. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And he's told her that if her husband is dead, then she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But he's also saying, but she is happier if she so abides after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. You know, Paul does not suggest doubt in any way. And the phrase is better translated, I consider also that I have the Spirit of God. And we all need to stand that way and in accordance with that. I told you, this morning, that we was going to be getting into things tonight that would be offensive to a lot of people and a lot of controversy to others. But you see, it is the Word of God. It is written. and it has been kept safe down through the years. And we have no excuse for breaking it. But they are doing it all the time. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to study your word, to share with each other and with you, so that we can grow thereby and be the child that you want us to be. Because, Father, we know that we, to put our trust in you, because without you, Father, we are nothing. We can do nothing. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for them. We're praying, Father, for them to have peace. And we know that right now, Father, they're not having any peace. But, Father, we pray that they will all leave the law of Moses and come out and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, then that Israel will be known one day as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, we pray for it, filled with so much evil. Father, we know things don't change here. We're going to lose our land, and we'll lose our freedom. Father, as your children here on this earth, but you know, those that are truly yours, that are born again, Father, we will never give that up. They may destroy this body, but they can't destroy us. And may we stand always looking up, sharing your word with someone else, those that are walking in darkness, regardless of the price that it will cost us. Father, use us all in great and mighty ways. Now, Father, help us to remove the evil out of our government offices and to replace it those that belong to you, that love you, the Lord Jesus Christ, your church, your children, in this country, to work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one that hears these studies and that is part of this ministry. I'm asking you, Father, to keep them through this evening and tonight in health, in safety. Bring us all together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back into your word and back with the Lord Jesus Christ and thy Holy Spirit. Father, this is my prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great one. Rest good tonight. Bye-bye now.